Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. Shanks is slurping coffee out of a Spurs mug.
Yeah.
Are you a Spur, are you?
Yeah, especially after the weekend.
I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, Tom?
Yeah, good boy. You all right?
Yeah. I'm all right, yeah.
Tell everyone where we are.
We're at my mate's flat in Bristol. We've got a, Shanks and I have got a really, really important, high-end, really, really well-paid filming gig at 10 o'clock.
For who? You're allowed to say, mate, it's fine.
GWR, Great Western Rail. Don't get any money for it, but apart from that, it's really well-paid.
You've probably seen them on like Facebook and stuff, and if you haven't, where have you been? Living in a cave?
Lol. Massive yeah. Lol. Are we... Yeah, we've got that. So instead of doing it afterwards and taking up our whole afternoons, we both fancied... Shanks will probably go back to the office this afternoon, but I will walk my dogs, hopefully, because I haven't had a day off since last Wednesday, so I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm a workaholic, mate. I just love it. So
He loves it up him. And we're at my mate's flat in Bristol. His name is Baz Barrett. So not only has he got a double R and a double T in his surname. Is that right, Baz? Yeah. He's nodding. He looks odd when he nods, but he's nodding. He also uses... His real name's Sebastian, but he used a double Z on his Baz, which makes me think cock. But he's actually a nice guy, very bright, works for WRU.
Shabazz. That's why.
Yeah.
He also must like keeping fit because he's got a massive trainer collection. He's got a dumbbell with a
but
with
not
a
cool trainers, like not the same trainer collection that Jay-Z would have or something.
No, they're like trainers that someone like Ian Goff would wear with a pair of jeans, or Rob Sidoli would wear with a pair of jeans.
You know, Sneans.
Like, out and about.
Trail running Sneans.
Solomons.
Yeah. Like, I saw...
Slammers. He's got a pair of slammers as well.
Oh, weightlifting shoes, yeah.
I mean...
That's serious.
Yeah, it's serious stuff. I mean, most people do it barefoot. The professionals do it barefoot, but...
They don't.
Amateurs, they do.
They don't. They deadlift barefoot or windsocks. You don't squat in shoes.
Maybe that's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So we're at Baz's flat because it's in Bristol and it's convenient. We were going to include him on the pod because it was just kind of random and he's a bit weird. And that would have been fun because he's got lots of interesting stuff to talk about, but he's actually got a lot of work to do for WRU. So he's sitting across the room grafting at the moment or pretending to.
Yeah. Minecraft's massive, isn't it?
It's huge. And from here, I can see a reflection in the mirror that he doesn't know I can see of what he's looking at on his website. And you ever seen that picture of that bloke on a train who thinks he's hiding his iPad, but when you look in the mirror on the reflection, he's actually looking at websites he shouldn't be?
Have you ever seen Alpha Papa? Alan Partridge?
No, what happens?
Movie. Yeah, he's in his little chalet in the back pretending to work, and he's got these glasses on, and you can see the reflection of the glasses of a big pair of boobs.
Someone tweeted that picture yesterday, actually. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. And anyway, no, Baz is actually on the WRU website, so it's not that inappropriate.
No.
Unless you're English. But anyway, we're in Baz's flat. It's very nice. We've had a very strong coffee, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been lovely coffee, actually.
Which is bad news for you, if you want to get a word in. What have you been up to?
Well... The last time we were on, we were about to film a Will Carlin, little BBC sketch, weren't we? So we went to Will's house. I thought it'd be a little bit better than it was, to be honest.
Shit old,
yeah, he's not done that well out of rugby, to be honest. You know, there are a lot of charities available for him and help. Because I often find, well, I couldn't live on 5 acres, mate. That's way too small.
No, I think it was 5 acres outside his house and garden plots. So I think it's more like 6, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. We're obviously just joking. It was an amazing house. We did a little BBC sketch talking about the Six Nations, and he was mowing the lawn, washing the windows. Hopefully you've seen it. Must have done, mustn't I?
Yeah, maybe. But it was very, very nice day that, wasn't it, actually?
A lovely bloke as well. Up for a laugh.
Well, I don't like him. It's funny, isn't it?
Mm.
Gorgeous house. Gorgeous house. Lovely dog.
You loved it. It was like Bagheera from Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Big black Labrador.
Real big.
Yeah. Mm. Boy as well. Definitely a boy.
But it was really, yeah, definitely a boy. Hell of a...
Yeah, so we had that on. Because it was obviously Wales v Ireland, we had a lot of Irish over in Wales. So I took a few of the boys to a Heineken gig in Caerphilly Social Club.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was. So we had... It was like a Wales v England question of sport gig that LS Media put on for Heineken.
Who are LS Media, Tom?
You know exactly who LS Media are. We do events, hospitality, golf days, trips to Dubai. You name it, we'll do it.
Debaggings and uppercuts.
Yeah. Mm. And it was a really good event, actually. Wales won, sort of set the tone for the weekend. Mm. But I'll tell you who was good on there, on the Irish panel. Donico O'Callaghan.
Yeah, okay.
What a lovely bloke. Funny, really funny. Doesn't drink, but absolutely mental.
Yeah, but you say everyone's a lovely bloke on this pod, don't you?
No.
I hate him.
Yeah.
No, he's really, really good company.
Yeah. Scott Crennel hosted it as well.
Yeah.
Went down a treat.
Yeah. Donico O'Callaghan, I've only met him twice doing BT stuff, once or twice, and played against him a few times, but only met him properly. He is one of the most engaging human beings I think I've met in all of my 27 years since I was born. He is properly, everyone, like, is magnetically drawn to him. He's got loads of charisma. He's really funny. He's super nice and he's huge.
I think it's his eyes, mate, because he's got funny eyes. And if you sort of look into him, you're sort of under, if you know what I mean.
I just feel like whoever you are or you think you are or you think your wife is, if your wife meets him, you're in trouble.
Mm.
That's what I think. Luckily, he's a nice guy.
But Wales won this Question of Sport event. Partly because I wrote all the questions.
Oh, what I mate.
Yeah, so the hardest thing for me was, you know, just trying to pretend I didn't know the answers, but did.
Yeah.
You know, there's a picture of, on the question board, there's a picture of Roger Bannister up. And, yeah. You know, we didn't know. I was going, oh, I'm sure, I'm trying to drip feed Gethin Jenkins and Dan Lidiot on my team who it was.
Do you know Roger Bannister's great-grandfather actually invented the handrail?
No. Okay.
Carry on.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, isn't that guy run the 4-minute mile? Just make that up. I've just got it.
It's like Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. You know his dad went to prison for armed robbery. Do you know that?
Oh.
Who's that lad who played for Chelsea whose dad was a vet? What was his name? Oh, that's it. Dan Petrescu. Sorry, Petrescu.
Oh, right. What have you been up to?
Ah, this and that, boy. I went to a trendy restaurant last week in London. I went out for dinner with a mate and I rang Andy Good. Andy, they call him Andy Food for two reasons. One is he eats a lot of food. The other reason is that he's trendy and only eats in the best restaurants because his lady friend, his partner, girlfriend, something. Anyway, she's super, super, super lovely. And she is like, she works for one of the big clubs in Mayfair and stuff and whatever. So I rang Goody and said, right, where should I go that's cool, nice food?
Is that why he's got gout?
Yes.
Okay.
And he told me to go to a place called Sexy Fish, which I'm told is really trendy and stuff.
Steak restaurant, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pasta mainly.
Yeah.
And I'll
have a leg of fish, please, mate.
Yeah. I'll have a lamb shank. No cameras, are there? So I had... and we had a super, super nice feed. And I am now approaching bankruptcy.
Can you tell us what you ate?
Can't remember. I was too pissed because I'm a lad. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. No.
Couple of events on Friday. Nice lunch with corporate thing, but with really good fun with Ian McGeachan, Sir Ian McGeachan, Graham Rowntree, and Lord Michael Tyndale of Wakefield.
All the legends. And you?
And me, Ruth Losh. But also AP McCoy.
Okay.
So I had a chat with AP. I've done two events with AP McCoy now, and both times.
Great crisps.
Yes. Yeah. The organisers of the events, they don't panic, but they give you a warning. It's like, look, AP McCoy is pretty serious guy. We know you like a laugh, but you know, don't take the piss out of him too much because he's pretty serious about his racing, and it's getting towards Cheltenham week, and he had this happen and this happen. You just you know, don't ask him for any tips. He hates that.
Mm.
And both times I've done events with him, he's a great crack. He fires in, like, he loves it. He loves having the piss taken out of him, and you know, he's really, really good value. But then on Friday night, did the old enemy dinner at the Grosvenor, which was a great crack. So we had, there were 40 or 50 ex-Scottish and English internationals at this dinner, right? How many is the most, what's the biggest number of players you've ever seen, or ex-players you've ever seen at a corporate event who aren't being paid? I have never seen that many ex-players at an event not getting paid. And you've got guys that aren't used to getting paid, like the old school, who just come for the night out.
Yeah.
Then you've got lads who are used to...
You would never go, I know that.
I bloody would.
No, you wouldn't.
You've got lads who are used to getting paid a lot of money to go to things, who this is such a great event, and there are so many legends there, they just want to be there.
So it wasn't necessarily corporate?
It was meant to be... It was, technically, the people bought tables to it, so it was corporate. But, you know, you got like Tins and Bolsh and those guys were there.
Yeah.
And, you know, loads of people are there, just and not just, you know, to get lashed, but it was...
Was Danny Grucock there?
No. No. So it was, he's just money hungry, you know what he's like.
Terror.
So he's a great nick though. So yeah, it was good fun. And then went to the game and did this, that Gogglebox thing I told you about that you couldn't do.
Did Mark Dudden Smith host that?
No, Bubs was there.
Oh.
Terror Nick. But yeah, so I was there with Alex Payne, the Sky Sports guy.
Oh yeah.
Who's I've known for years and is a very amusing posh guy. Nugget, Martin Williams, one of the legends of this podcast, and Tom Evans, the best looking man in Scotland. Four of us sit and watch a game and they film us Gogglebox style watching the test in England, Scotland. It's really good fun. It's just a shame Tom Evans made absolutely no effort with his appearance. He is minging.
Really?
Up close, mate, he's minging. People think he's really good looking, he's not.
Nice from far.
Far from nice. And like, everyone was coming over and I don't want to be...
Is that why they call him the prawn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They call him Bob Fock.
Eat the body, throw away the head.
Body off Baywatch, face off Crime Watch.
Yeah.
People kept coming over and I didn't want to say it. Like, he doesn't listen to podcasts, so I'm safe. People are coming over to me and Nugget and saying, God, you guys are way better looking than Tom. And like, loads of people said that. And like Tom, yeah, stinky chat and looks awful up close. Yeah, really, really bad skin. It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing he did say, I'm joking, he's unbelievably attractive.
Really bad acne.
Unbelievably attractive. We all sat down, he's like, the guy ran the event, said, do you want a beer? I said, yeah, have a beer, please, that'd be nice, mate. And Tommy said, no, I can't. Sorry, do you want a coffee then? No, I can't, thanks. Can I just have some water, please? Okay, and then later on, he said, do you want a biscuit or something? No, I can't. I said, why can't you? And he's like, oh, there's a music festival in April. Said, what?
A music festival?
He's going to a music festival. He's not working there, he's just going there. But he said, I've got to get the rig right.
Mm.
He knows there'll be the most gorgeous women everywhere and he wants to get his body absolutely bang on for Shirts Off Coachella Festival in the States. And he will be the janitor. He will be cleaning up.
It's such a hard discipline to have, and there's only a few of us around still that have that discipline.
Mm.
Yeah. But on Friday night, we obviously had hospitality, right? So we had Lee Byrne came before with Paul Wallace and Gordon Darcy.
What was Bernie wearing?
Sharp, mate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good.
He was looking good. But after, we had Andy Powell.
Oh, yeah.
So, very good,
mate. Presumably, you'd need Andy Powell, someone afterwards, because Wally would be okay pre-match, then he wouldn't be able to speak post-match.
Yeah, Wally didn't come back for a long time after the match, and we all wanted to start a Q&A. We're waiting for Wally. He turns up halfway through the Q&A with everything on backwards, his shirt on backwards, his blazer on backwards, his jeans on backwards. And and literally not making sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But Powley was there, and I was asking Powley, I said, look, mate, you drove the golf buggy 3.4 miles down a motorway. It must have been hell of a laugh. And he said, he was going, well, you know, the thing is, you know, when you're driving down the motorway on
the golf... impression, really?
No, with a golf buggy, with a bottle of wine in your hand, and lorries are passing, and you're doing the choo-choo sign to the lorries to make them beep their horn, and they're doing it. He said, there was nothing better. And then, it was just... And then he was saying then about red and yellow cards and stuff. And he said he'd only been red carded once, and that was for an under-21s game against Wasps. And he said he'd give this Wasps guy a bit of a slap, and he got red carded. And he's walking off. This Wasp player's mum started on him. He said, he goes, and the next thing you know, then my mum's come over the top and started twatting her. He said, there's two women having a fight over it. Mate, he was on really good form.
Yeah, that's good. He's a funny man.
Yeah, it always helps when you win, though, mate.
Yeah. And you were at Sarri's on Saturday, weren't you?
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but did some ITV. It's actually ITV, mate. It wasn't even shown on 2, 3 or 4. It was on mainstream TV.
It's who you are now.
Yeah, I've just gone up another level.
Pod, you've shot up since this pod, haven't you?
Yeah, so you link to me, I link back to you.
Yeah.
It's on different days, but they don't need to know that.
They don't need to know that.
It was a good game there. It was a good game. Okay. Enjoyed it.
That's enough rugby chat for now, mate.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So as you know now, we have a bet of the week, the Leo Vegas bet of the week. And part of our relationship with Leo Vegas is that we get a free bet every week. And if we win, all the proceeds go to charity. And our charity is Children in Need.
Mm.
Mm. So, you know, go on to Leo Vegas website, leovegas.com. All the T's and C's apply. You have to make sure you're over 18 to bet. And we won last week, didn't we? We put a bet on.
Cleaned up.
Put a bet on England beating Scotland by more than 10.5 points. It's come in. That money's going to Children in Need.
Do you know how much we won?
Yes. We put 25 on. I think we basically won 25 back.
Oh.
But we won. You know?
Yeah. And it's still fun. So when the fun stops, but it's still fun, yeah?
Exactly. So we're going to have a bet this weekend. And we probably should bet on the biggest game, shouldn't we? I mean, I was thinking about having a bet on my mate who's got a horse in one of the races at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
But
we could bet on England Legends v Ireland Legends on Friday night.
Yeah, we could.
In memory of Axel Foley. That'd actually be a really cool game.
Are there any odds on that? Probably not.
No.
Okay, so we're going to bet on Ireland v England.
Okay.
The odds aren't out yet, but we're just going to go with an England win, yeah?
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't happen, but we're going with it.
Do you really hope it doesn't happen?
Yeah. I mean, you've already won the championship. Well done. Congratulations. 3 cheers. Whee.
Thank you.
But, you know, back-to-back Grand Slams, for me, it's a bit too much.
To bear, you mean?
A bit of everything, really. A bit greedy.
Yeah. You know? Greedy.
So
England aren't going to lose that, mate.
I think there's plenty of people supporting Ireland this weekend.
Yeah, probably a couple of million, I would have
thought.
Hopefully
they can spoil a party. But you never know. So there we are. Our bet of the week.
All right.
Going with our heads.
England on the nose. Is that a term?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do them.
So first game of the weekend, starting on Friday night. Wales v Ireland. I mean, you went with Ireland, didn't you?
So yeah.
Bit of humble pie for you.
Yeah, no problem.
Please, eat
big
it.
Big portion of. Landlord.
Eat up.
Landlord, I'll have a portion of that.
What a game though, mate. Did you enjoy it?
I absolutely did.
Start to finish, mate, that game was brutal. Huge.
Do you think it was as brutal as Wales-England?
Just as brutal, I think.
Okay. Equality, brutality, yeah?
Something interesting was that Wales came out early in the second half just to do a few hand-in drills because over the last couple of games, they started the second half really
slowly. Hated that as a player.
Yeah.
Hated that.
But it's back in your mind.
Got an idea at half-time, guys.
In focus, isn't it? So it was a brilliant game, mate. I'm so happy for the boys. They were under a lot of pressure. I said that they rarely lose three big games on the bounce. They came back.
The mark of a top side, they rarely lose three on the bounce.
The interesting thing was, Joe Schmidt said that they weren't going to target George North. Why would they target George North? One of the first things they did in the game was put a high ball up on him.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a 50-50 challenge, but luckily he got a hand to it and it came back to Wales' side. But then after that, back to the form of old. Ball in hand.
Love that.
Bosh and people. But ball in hand with a bit of space as well. And that's when you get the best out of him. You know, he's not so good at doing all the tight stuff. You know, he doesn't want to truck it up. He's so agile and so fast that he needs a bit of space, ball in hand. And it was good. And it was nice to see Wales actually having a crack off first phase as well. You know, the try, George North's try, I thought was brilliant. You know, Moriarty fakes a drive, comes out, gives it to Webb. Scott Williams had his best game so far in the championship. Hits a lovely angle, offloads to Webb, who I think has been the player of... Not tournament, the player of the Welsh team.
The Welsh player of the tournament.
So far. Hits Halfpenny, out to North.
He hit him?
Yeah, punched him in the face, mate.
Crikey O'Reilly.
So it was a great game. Didn't help that Sexton took a knock in the head early doors.
Well, it did help
went
you.
Went off for an HIA.
It did help you.
No, for them, it didn't help them.
No.
But even like the likes of CJ Stander. You know, CJ Stander had one great run in the first half, but...
Where he ran over Halfpenny.
Yeah. But hand off Scott Williams, ran over Halfpenny. But Warburton and Tipperick, you know, managed to stop him dead in his tracks. And he is their best ball carrier by a mile. Didn't see much of Sean O'Brien. Didn't see much of Jamie Heaslip.
I was in a car with Martin Williams on Saturday night. And I said, what did you make of Warburton last night? And this is a private conversation, off mic, off camera. He said he's an absolute beast. He's a beast on the ball. Has to start for the line, 6 or 7, wherever he wants, probably 7. He is absolutely mega, and I agree entirely.
Yeah.
I love how well he's playing. Love seeing George North dominating again. Love seeing Warby, because we're Land Rover buddies now, practically pen pals and housemates. To be honest, I don't really care who wins out of Wales and Ireland. I want to see a good game.
You do care, because you know, I'm your BFF.
Yeah, and I do care.
But Dan Biggar was taking it quite flat.
Yeah.
A lot flatter than he has done before.
I was just really glad to see some guys really perform under pressure.
But then there was, you know, 3 intercepts, which luckily didn't result in tries. But because Dan was taking it a lot flatter, Sexton was coming off the line really quick. And, you know, he grabbed 3, I think, intercepts. But it was nice to see Wales throwing the ball around a little bit and trying stuff. You know, they were attacking off first phase. Liam Williams had another great game. Deceptively, so deceptively strong, mate. You know, he's probably a guy that weighs 92 kilos.
Yeah.
But runs, you know, 102 kilos.
120, definitely. More kilos.
Yeah. The scrum looked pretty solid. The line-out was good.
Yeah.
Luke Charteris come on. First thing he did was steal a line-out. So they upset Ireland well. And Ireland kicked more. They probably won the battle of the air. They had more possession second half. But at last, Wales managed to close that game out. And Wales were toying with Ireland at the end, mate, going for the bonus point.
Oh,
it was like 80 minutes on the clock.
Let's play
going for it, yeah.
Cat and mouse.
Yeah, it was. But is it?
Now, well done, the Mad Taffs. Good stuff.
There is a question here. Roger Jones has tweeted in. He said, do you think Wales are a reactive side? Question mark. As in, they need to lose, get a bollock in, to win big again.
Yep.
It is a bit like that, isn't it?
Yep, good question, that.
Yeah. They've certainly got the players. They've certainly got the quality. It's just, it does take a bit of pressure and a bit of a telling off to actually see a massive reaction from them. You know, it's a shame they didn't start the tournament off.
Shouldn't take a kick up the arse to do that for an international team, but real life, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Real emotions, yeah. But so, I was.
They're on. Wales are back on for the Grand Slam. No, they're not actually on for the Grand Slam. That's a joke. But it's good to see them back playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly sleeping easier.
Yeah. Did you watch much of the Italy France game?
I watched bits. I'll be totally frank with you. I'll be frank if you be Peggy.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I was working actually elsewhere.
I'd be Janine.
Can you be only if I could be Arthur. Nasty Nick. Can I be Nasty Nick?
Yeah. Mark Fowler.
Fowler. Don't say that. I did. I watched bits of it, not a huge amount. I wasn't that bothered by it. When Italy looked like they might be doing a job, I was interested. And as soon as France started stretching away and...
Yeah. Well, Italy started big, didn't they?
As soon as Louis Picamol touches the ball and you realise he's the dominant force on the field, it's game over, isn't it?
He is such a dominant force. He ran over two players to score a try off number eight. You don't often see that.
It's such a shame it's not the British, Irish and French lines, isn't it?
Well, France... French backs, I thought, looked really good.
Mind you, they're playing against...
Both wingers.
Underperforming back line.
Both wingers. Both French wingers. Nakatasi and Vakatawa were brilliant. Given real go forward, real elusive. Gael Fiku, scored a lovely individual try.
I thought Varikas Vainikolo played well as well. And I thought, did you see a Tiddy played well? And you're silly to allow him. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that team? It's like the 13th man or something. And he reads out the this New Zealand Rugby League team. And he reads out the whole team. Michael Lippmann used to do it as like a performance on the mic at parties.
Yeah.
It is brilliant. And it was like, France is smelly and so too is Italy. Did you see a Tiddy? She's silly to allow him. And it's just Varikas Vainikolo. And he's like, and then halfback. And he's like... What's it? What's the guy's? Can you remember that Baz? Baz is across the room. It was like, it's like Ben Jones. I've forgotten the guy's name. I've ruined it. Ruined the whole thing. But it was like, no, Stacey Jones. And now I can't spell it. Like that was the complicated one. Anyway, so you
okay.
Google it. It's absolute genius.
I've heard a few of them before. It's quite clever.
Thank you. Oh, sorry, it wasn't mine. Yeah.
Did it's David Seaman feature in it? Great keeper. England, 61. Scotland, 21. MC Hammond.
Yeah.
Don't often see somebody try scored off first phase, too. I think I counted four from England off first phase.
I counted 11. What I say to you is this. That is the easiest game of professional rugby I reckon Jonathan Joseph will ever play. The tackle at the end where Hugh Jones scored and he didn't quite hit him properly, that was... maybe a grey mark against Jonathan Joseph defensively. But in attack, I don't think he will ever play an easier match than that. It was bizarre. It wasn't about Stuart Hogg going off because he was at fullback. It wasn't about Fraser Brown's yellow card because they're scoring from set piece through the midfield when he's off.
Just on that point, mate. Yellow, right call?
Yellow. Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
It looked awful, but his upper back hit the ground
before his head. Yeah.
So it's a right call. Terrible tackle. Stupid. He is such a good player.
Yeah,
he's a Lions tourist for me, 100%. He is brilliant, but that was really stupid. But the midfield defence from Scotland, when at first phase when they're meant to be at their most organised, was horrendous.
Right, so Scotland's defence, I thought for the first three games has been one of their biggest pluses. You know, they're coming off the line fast, they're winning collisions. Now you watch them against England again. The first few steps were off the line, they were fast, but then all of a sudden they just stop. They wait for the England play to unfold and then they end up backpedalling. You know, had they kept going with that line speed, they would have cut them off, but they stop because they panic. And I think partly they panic because there's so much movement from the England backs. And when there's so much movement, your eyes are everywhere, and all of a sudden then you get into no man's
land. Don't want to commit to one individual.
You get yourself in a pickle. And England, you can obviously see England have got three or four options off every move. And it was just one of those games where every option they picked worked.
Did you ever play against teams, or what teams did you play against in all the games you played for Wales, where there was just so much movement that in defence you're like, oh my God, this is brutal?
The Harlem Globetrotters, mate, when we played against them, it was brutal.
They know their onions. Yeah. They know what to do with it, those boys.
Australia, I think, were always like that. They're real attackers. And so are the All Blacks to an extent. But I think the Aussies, really, their main positive and the biggest part of their game is their attack. So, but it was like that. You know, there was so much movement that the Scotland players did not have a clue who to take. And Jonathan Joseph broke through a couple of times, but, you know, he finished so well, might as well. He still had a bit of work to do.
Yeah. You know, one thing that sticks out for me is when Jonathan Joseph ends up making that break, swerving, and then popping the ball off to Anthony Watson on his right shoulder, who scores. Watson was on for Daly after that tackle, wasn't he? Watson was already in, but the acceleration he put onto that ball, it was like as soon as he got the ball, he only ran 10 or 15 metres to score, and it was a run-in, the whole ground was like... He is so quick that I reckon just that little burst there, Warren Gatland will see that and think, how do you leave those wheels at home?
Benjamin King on Twitter, right, has said, the form from JJ, what does it come from? Does it come from training? Does it come from psychology? What?
He
didn't play last week.
It comes from confidence, having a point to prove that, you know, he's a confident guy, but he will have been annoyed that he got dropped, of course. But he would have said, right, let's be super sharp. Let's get everything super right. Run super hard. And do you know what?
What?
I'll tell you right bloody now. He came up against a defence that was absolutely nowhere near on it or at it. And he got lucky. So not that he played very well, but he also faced a defence that made him look $1 million. And I think Jonathan Joseph is a fabulous player, and I wouldn't have dropped him in the first place, I don't think. But then you...
But how, you don't know if players are up to the level of playing for England if you don't test them.
Yeah, and I think if you stick Elliot Daly at 13, he does as much damage. I mean,
that's one of the, you know, that's something brought up yesterday in Wales on one of the rugby shows, was that Wales have only blooded three players since the last World Cup.
Wow.
And, you know, if there are injuries, you're not going to know if these players are up to it unless they do get some game time. So... You look at the game this weekend for Wales. They can't win the championship. They can't win a Grand Slam. Is it an opportunity just to try some other options? You know, maybe see if Sam Davis has got what it takes to play international. That's not dropping down bigger on form, but if he does get injured, someone's going to have to fill in that slot, and you want to be confident that someone can do a job. Similarly with a winger, you know. Is there a chance for Steph Evans to have a crack on the wing? Because if a winger goes down, you know, we've got Cuthbert, but his form hasn't been the greatest. Who else? There's some great wingers and they have some great club form, but we don't know whether they can do it at international level. So I personally think this is an option to say, right, let's blood a couple of youngsters, let's see if they've got what it takes. Jonathan Reeks on Twitter wants to know, is there hope for Scotland or was it all a mirage? Mirage a trois.
I think they're...
Stop it.
You stop it. Actually stop it. I think there is hope, but that was so poor. I was sad for them. I was sad for Vern Cotton more than anything. I think he's done such a good job. But there is hope. I just think that...
It was just a bad game.
You look at teams like England that put runs like this together, and that's kind of an extreme run, isn't it, of wins. But... Teams that win things consistently and dominate consistently aren't brilliant all the time, but their bad days are still generally good enough to win.
Yeah.
And Scotland's good days are good enough that I think they could genuinely beat anybody, but their bad days are woeful. It's almost like they're not used to being good yet.
But England have done this unbeaten run, 18 consecutive wins without playing the All Blacks and Japan.
Yeah, amen, sister.
Yeah, everyone loses to Japan.
Yeah.
So, it's clever, very clever. There's a question here from Rob Sherrington, right? And he wants to know...
You know what Rob's like?
Yeah. Just a rugby nonce.
Incorrigible. Cad.
England's line speed against Scotland was...
Hang on a minute. Baz knows Rob. He's across the room nodding. You know Rob, do you, Baz?
I think he's a wannabe
Labour
MP or something like that.
He's a troll, is he?
He's a troll.
England's line speed against Scotland was amazing. Did their defence essentially win the match? No, it didn't. Their attack essentially won the match because it was outstanding all the way through.
Yep.
Decoy runners, space, front foot ball, set piece was good. Tristan Fowler. Okay.
Arthur's grandson, presumably.
Mm. Pauline's son. Does Hartley deserve his place? Don't see him much around the park.
I thought he was busy Saturday.
When does Jamie George get to start?
I thought Dylan was the busiest he'd been at the weekend.
Okay.
I think, look, I don't think this is a big mystery. I think that... I don't know what Eddie Jones' opinion is on it, because I haven't asked him, and I haven't heard him talk about it, but I think the best hooker in England is Jamie George. I think Dylan Hartley is the best leader England have got. He's a great bloke. He's hard as nails. I'm going to say he's a great bloke. I mean, what I know of him, but the boys in the England camp tell me he's a great bloke. He's super straight and honest and hardworking. He's great fun. He's a proper man. He's a proper boy, lad kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's also got loads of respect, loads of integrity, like loads of respect within the squad. And I think he's a proper leader of men. And I think that comes before pure sort of level of input on the field. And in some cases, whether he's still starting in the next World Cup, I don't know. I expect he probably won't be. But I think he is the best person to lead England. And I think the England team agrees.
Is he a better bloke than Mark Durden Smith?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know any of that. Oh, he's one of those guys.
Matt Raven on Twitter wants to know, should Hughes keep his place next weekend?
No. But that's not actually a reflection on how he's played. I think you've got to have Billy and Nathan Hughes in the squad.
Both on form, Billy's a better player, in my opinion.
Yep. And you've got, like, just like you've got to have Mako.
Similar with Moriarty and Faletau.
Yeah. So you've got to have Mako and Joe Marler. So you could start either of those two, no problem, but one of them has got to come off the bench and have an impact. Of the two props, I would say Mako is more likely to have a big impact in attack off the bench.
Yeah, okay.
Of the two, have Billy and Nathan Hughes. You pick one to start as a grinder.
Yeah.
Let's say one of them picks...
Good website.
Don't say grinder. Don't say grinder, okay? Especially not around Baz.
.com.
Double Z, tells you what you need to know. So, or you... You pick one of them to grind out 60 minutes, one
location
of them to play 20
on.
I actually had a chat with...
All right, go on then.
We came out of a club in Cardiff a couple of years ago when England played Wales in Cardiff. And we came out of a club and we asked the bouncers. We hadn't been troublesome. We'd been a bit naughty in there. But
rowdy.
We hadn't hurt anyone. We had a really good time with everyone and whatever. The bouncers kept asking us to, you know, put our clothes back on and get off the tables. But we came out and said, is there a good club we can go to, mate? And he said, yeah, sure. Try a place called Pulse.
Yeah.
And I went to Pulse. We went to Pulse, first pint, and we were like...
Oh, they serve pints.
A lot of blokes in here. And it turned out they'd, for a laugh, to get their own back, they'd sent us to a gay club. And we might have discussed this before in the pod, but we had a really good night. And I got taken through...
is that it?
No, excuse me. I got shown the ropes. Oh, God, no. This lad outside was like, you boys don't look gay to me. I was like, oh, we're not actually, but we're here now and there's not a big queue for the bar, so we'll stick about. And he got his phone out and went on Grindr and said, this is how you do it. And I was like, how many are in here in this club on Grindr who are, in effect, ready to go? And he was like, da-da-da-da-da, 7. Nope, 13. It's like, oh my God, it is that easy. And he's like, and then he showed me all the intricacies of, you know, your one's offering on Grindr. And it's more nuanced than you think, Tommy.
Yeah, well.
If you've got to pick between Hughes and Billy, they're both in the squad. I would say Nathan Hughes is more likely to have an impact off the bench because he's a bit quick, a bit more agile, wider spaces, all that sort of stuff. So I'd probably start Billy, play him for 50, 55 minutes and bring on Nate Dogg.
I think they'd both make a massive impact. Whether they
Yeah, maybe. And Nathan Hughes has, I think he's actually stuck at it really well in this Six Nations. Had, don't change a winning team, except if you're asking me my honest opinion, I would.
Yeah, Toby Hopkins wants to know on Twitter.
Hoppo, what is he like?
What can England do to reduce the risk associated with George Ford's weak defending?
I just don't
nothing,
think...
Nothing really. You can try and hide him a little bit. I'm not a big fan of, you know, if you've got a weak defender at 10, trying to hide him in different places, trying to hide him on the blind side, trying to hide him at 15, because it upsets everyone else's defending pattern then.
Yeah.
Because you've got to defend in different positions.
And he's not a natural wing defender. He's not a natural at dealing with last defenders.
You know, if you put him at 15 and someone's going to put a massive high ball up and he's going to have two 16, 17 stone centres running down his, breathing down his neck, you know, that's quite unnerving. You've got to be a pretty brave person to be able to take them. Lee Halfpenny dropped a high ball at the weekend, which I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Kicked well off the tee, mind.
Turns out he is human.
Kicked well off the tee. So
I think it's not ideal, but I don't think it's a massive issue. If you've got a Farrell outside him and Haskell inside him, I'd say he's one of the better protected 10s in the world. Yeah. Get found out every now and again, but I think it's better at 10, missing the odd one, sticking him on the wing and not knowing what to do with last attackers and just, you know, looping fullbacks looping around or hitting the line.
If you miss a tackle at 10, it's not always going to be a try. You know, there's plenty of cover, you know, with your 9, your 7, your 12. But on the wing, you're isolated. If you miss a tackle there, often at least the clear line breaks and tries. So it's a tough position to defend. Right, talking about the Six Nations now. Previews this weekend. Who do you think is going to win? We'll start with France, Wales.
France are going to win at home.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because France are good at home and they look an all right team.
They are good at home.
But also, Wales, what they've shown us is that they can get up for the big home games, and then once they've really got up for one, they disappear the week after.
Well, the big test for them. Can they get to that emotional high again? Backs against the wall stuff, which it was. The weekend. I'm actually really pleased for Rob Howley as well.
Me too, yeah. Don't even know him, but I am, yeah.
I saw him on Friday, actually, and you know, seemed in good spirits, but a lot of pressure was on him. I think had Wales lost that game, you know, he might not have been around much longer at Wales.
Do you reckon?
Potentially. I'm not sure. But I'm so pleased for him because I like him. He's a mate. He stuck with the same team, which was a big call. A lot of pressure from fans, from pundits about changing the team, changing it up. He didn't. He stuck with it. Mm. It was a great Welsh performance, a great win. And I just hope now they can feed off that and give the same performance, like a desperation performance this weekend. That's the real test.
I would actually, as a neutral, I would love them to go and beat France and be as excited and up for it as they were last weekend. I just don't reckon they will be. So we'll see.
Okay. Italy, Scotland or Scotland, Italy? I'm not sure where is it.
Scotland.
Yeah. Is it going to be $9.99 all you can eat buffet? Score when you want?
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. Because I think Scotland will be pretty disappointed after.
After last weekend, after
Scotland
Saturday,
are a good team.
It just, that game becomes way less interesting because Scotland have just lost their mojo overnight, you know. Sure, they can regain it, but they've lost what made them so attractive.
Yeah, they're not. They're not the team of old, mind. This is a Scotland team that's beaten Ireland, that's beaten Wales.
Yeah.
You know, they've got quality players. Stuart Hogg, hopefully, will be fit for him. He's a massive loss for them the weekend, purely because of his attack from 15. Now, when loose kicks come, he managed to create.
Amen, sister.
Right, and then the big one: Ireland, England.
England.
Okay, yeah. I think England will win as well. I think they'll have enough. I hope Ireland can... If there's one game that Ireland can get themselves up for, mind, it's to stop the Grand Slam at the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, oh God, yeah. That'd be fascinating.
And they'll be disappointed because we didn't touch on this, actually. A massive turning point in the game for Ireland was that Robbie Henshaw intervention in the driving line-out, which he didn't actually need to go in because it would have been a try anyway. He effectively cost them 7 points.
You don't know what you're doing. Stay out of there.
You can't enter a mall ahead of the player with a ball.
No, through the gate, mate.
He did that. I thought Wayne Barnes was really good, actually.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
He's not the king of one-liners like Big Nige, but I think he's so good, Bonzi.
He got all the decisions spot on. I actually saw him. I was having a walk around Cardiff Friday afternoon, just trying to soak up the atmosphere, you know, sign a few autographs, you know.
Was it a selfie tour?
Keep people happy.
Were you in full kit?
motivation police, I was. No, not this time. But saw Wayne Barnes walking out of Wagamama's pre-match meal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And having a chat with him, just walking down the street, and I said, you know, have you been recognised yet? Does anyone recognise you? He said, oh, no, not really. You know, one or two have come up. And bear in mind now, town is full. Yeah. I've just gone, ladies and gentlemen, your referee for tonight, Wayne Barnes! You know, when someone's looking for somewhere to
hide. I remember that. He would hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, well played, mate.
Yeah, stitched
That's
up.
Good stuff.
Anyway, good chat, mate.
Thanks. Thanks for everything. Thanks for your continued support.
Now, Flats, we've had some questions. Actually, before we get to the questions, someone's tweeted us a picture, and it says Flats and Shanks podcast bingo, which is actually quite funny. We'll put it up back on our Twitter page today, but it's basically 9 phrases or words that we use quite a lot. Have a look at it.
It's very good.
I think we've basically tried to use them all today. I mean, yeah. We use them mostly when we're at the Arms Park. But they're good. Terror, boy.
Yeah, it's just stuff what we say, but it's very good, actually.
Danny Grewcock. So, yeah, we'll put that up. And I think we'll probably try and use those words and phrases every single time we do a podcast now.
Yeah, it's quite lols. You can tweet that to me.
Okay, I will. Right, question from Twitter, mate. Alistair Moga. Main question has to be, what will stop England winning the Grand Slam?
Food poisoning.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's what Wales gave to New Zealand when you beat them back in 2013, I think. They played us the week before. Mm. Their food was poisoned. Yeah. They turn up at Twickenham. They've all been ill all week.
Yeah.
They run on empty. Thank me later.
Yeah, thank me later. Here's one. I got one on email from Rex Roxburg. How good a name is that?
I love it.
Rex Roxburg. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rex. Good job on the pod and bod. Presumably, that means my physique, not yours.
No.
What do you think about the Ford Burns Leicester Bath transfer? Who do you think benefits more?
Freddie Burns was good at the weekend, mate. When
getting better and better.
Leicester beat Saracens in the semi-final of an Anglo-Welsh. God, a bit embarrassing. I was doing TV again.
Oh, I know. More media stuff, was
God, leave me alone.
See Freddie Burns try winning the handbrake. He was talking as soon as he stood up. He almost got caught at the end by Nathan Ellery, didn't he?
Zigzagging.
Nathan Earl, sorry. Mike Ellery, Nathan Earl. Nathan Earl, but he the old Iron Apple handbrake, and he didn't come off there.
Got a zigzag, haven't you?
Got a zigzag, mate. You've got to hit the zigs.
You've got to do the slalom.
Yeah, got a tic-tac. And I think, well, George Ford is the best 10 in England, so Leicester benefit on that front, but he's going to be away a lot. And I think Leicester benefit hugely from having George Ford because he's so very good. But I think Bath also win in this in a sense because Freddie's unlikely to get picked for England because there's so many good 10s around. He could be there for every game of the season. And he's a local boy playing for his hometown club who has always wanted to play for Bath. And I think that is still very important. So I think both clubs is winners.
It's a win-win, isn't it? Andrew Grant on Twitter wants to know, what were your cheap meals as players? So
breakfast and dinner.
What food was like a guilty pleasure for you, mate?
Oh, jeez.
Just lard? Just eating a block of lard?
I used to get a block, melt it down, put it in a pint glass with a straw.
Pork scratchings?
Unsponsored. I'd say this is unsponsored. Recommend we...
Is it true you used to just, like, scrape the fat off, like a pork belly and just eat that?
Yeah, as long as it was crispy.
And rub
Pizza Express. I used to regularly have, I used to regularly... On a weeknight, we go to Pizza Express and have 5 courses, didn't we?
Mm.
Regular.
Garlic
bread, polo salad, ham and eggs, American pizza, chocolate fudge cake.
New York for me, mate. Cheesecake. I would say for me, it'd be one of the burger joints in the services. If I had a choice, it would be Burger King.
No, it wouldn't.
It would.
Their chips are rubbish.
Chips are rubbish. I agree, the chips are rubbish, but...
That's half the meal.
A Whopper, a double Whopper, take the gherkins out.
Don't take the gherkins out.
Is TDF, it's delish.
Yeah, it is, but
I like a KFC, I reckon, once, twice a year.
No way. I think a Big Mac's better than a Whopper.
I like to take all the skin off the KFC and put it on my face and pretend I'm Hannibal Lecter. A nice bottle of Chianti.
On the M4. Yeah. We used to... Was I living with you when we used to put that hockey mask on?
Quid pro quo, Clarice.
Was I with you when I used to wear that white hockey mask? You like, but it looked like a Hannibal Lecter mask. And you pull up at the traffic lights, and I'd like put my head down to the left towards my handbrake, slip on this hockey mask, and then just really quickly look bang out of my window at the person next to me at the lights, and they'd see you turn around. And they go,
those are days. Neil Evans on Twitter said, Hogg is the most picked player by over 2,400 Lions fans. 900 have him as a star player. Would you agree?
Yep.
Yep. Liam Williams, close second, in my opinion, even though he's playing on the wing. Should be playing 15.
Hoggy's the guy, mate.
Mate, who would be back row for the Lions in the first test if New Zealand was next Saturday?
Well, boy.
Matthew Lloyd wants to know that.
Okay, boy.
Warburton surely has to play.
It's really easy for me. Are you
go on then.
6, 7, 8, Stander, Warburton, Billy.
Yeah.
Happy with this?
It's exactly the same.
Okay.
Tom George.
Who are your Lions midfield, Tommy? Now. Right now.
Farrell and Joseph.
Yeah.
I think they're playing the best.
Oh, I
bet. Because I don't think you're going to be able to take New Zealand on physically, mate. I don't think they're going to be used to that. You know, big ball carriers at 12 and 13. They'll be used to tackling them all day. They do. You know, in the super...
Rugger.
Do
you know what I heard?
Hold on, I'm finished. And I think if you want to beat New Zealand, you're going to have to make them think. You're going to have to play against them. And in order to do that, you need ball players and creativity.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I heard?
Zip-zip-bah. What?
Someone told me yesterday a little rumour. And he had said he's Welsh. And he had heard that Jamie Roberts might be going back to Wales because Quinns are trying to sign Malachi Fekitoa.
Fuck off. Seriously.
You Fekitoa off.
I saw that in the paper. I think that's just pub talk.
Why'd you say that?
I think that's just Euro trash. What a great programme that was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
They used to have naked boobs and stuff on there, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. They love Lola that. Ferrari, remember her?
Oh, yeah. Is she still alive? Jen question.
No. Right, Tom
Baz
George.
Baz knows all this general knowledge. No, straight away. How do you know so much about Lola Ferrari, Baz? Why are you looking at that laptop?
Tom George on Twitter wants to know, has Sam Warburton sneaked into pole position as possible Lions Tour captain?
He hasn't sneaked into it. He's smashed his way into it.
No, I don't think so, you see. I think we've seen how good Warburton's been since...
He wasn't captain.
Yeah, since he wasn't captain. Why would you do that? Why would you put more pressure on him?
Who then? Go on.
Alanwyn Jones. Have that.
After that wobble...
Have that. Has Ken Owens quietly put himself in pole position for the starting line?
After the place kicking wobble, you think Alanwyn?
Mate, never stop learning. You never stop learning.
Too late to learn on tour, boy.
Yeah, but he's done it before the tour, so... Hugh Lewis, has Ken Owens quietly put himself in pole position for starting lines?
Hugh Lewis in the news. I think he's close, yeah. Mm. I think the sheriff is getting better and better every week. His pitch side celebrations when he's been subbed
absolutely
off and
brilliant.
Score. I love that.
Pure emotion, that is, isn't it?
I love
it?
That. Pure emotion. During my bolter for Lions starting hooker.
I loved it if you grabbed the camera and kissed it, though.
Yeah, he's what he should have done.
Signed the lens.
What Maradona would have done.
Yeah, I know.
My bolter for starting hooker for the Lions is Fraser Brown.
Okay.
He's fab. Mm. Silly tackle on it daily, but he's Fabo Malabo.
Yeah. Right, and that slowly brings us to an end of this podcast.
Well, we've ground to a halt there, haven't we?
Yeah. Please make sure...
Do you reckon this pod was any good this week?
It's been informative.
Yeah.
Mm. They can't always be golden, though, can they? Yeah, we do so many. Next week, the podcast is going to be out a little bit later. Because...
Are you a Doha? Are you a Doha?
I'm off to Doha, yeah. God, do more TV.
Sex sells, mate.
Yeah.
They want you on there.
I'm like the Dermot O'Leary of Doha. That's what they call me out there.
You must stick out like dog's nuts in Doha.
I walk around with an umbrella, mate, like a geisha.
Do you? Do people think you're a mime artist?
the circus is in town, is it? So yeah,
whoa.
I get back a little bit later. We can't do it on a Tuesday because I got corporate day.
Oh,
so I think
LS Media, is it?
Yeah, well, you know, you do a lot when you're back in Bath.
Yeah, when I was at Bath.
No, I've got a works golf day at the London Club, which is a golf club in Kent, which you probably know is near Brands Hatch. So I think we're going to bring this out on Wednesday next week. So a little bit sorry about that, but if you do enjoy them, you know, make sure you get on iTunes and give it a review. Obviously 5 stars, of course. If it's anything less, then
if you're the sort of person that logs on to give anything other than 5 stars, I'm sorry, but we're not going to be friends anyway.
No, and we won't reply to any of your tweets, and we won't even mention you.
Yeah.
But how can they contact us?
Therefore, won't make you famous.
How can they contact us, boy?
At Flats and Shanks on Twitter.
Yeah.
Contact at Flats and Shanks on email, Flats and Shanks Facebook page.
Well done, boy. Next time, can you do it opening your eyes?
I don't really think about that.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm fully on it, yeah.
Anyway, well, mate, you've been...
Thanks, Baz, for your hospitality.
Yeah, Flats, you've been a great merman. Lying on, like he's lying on a rock. I put a picture up on Twitter a little bit later. Yeah. With this Freddie Mercury microphone.
Yeah. Got a lot in common with Freddie. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.